Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's least coherent podcast network. Hey, have you been on the fence about joining Sans Pants Plus? I get it. There's too many tiers to choose from, it's all a bit confusing, and what if you don't like what us bumblefucks do? Well, don't worry. For this month only, we're offering you a 1 month free trial subscription for Champs if you use the coupon code RATBOY. That's RATBOI. You can listen to the several bonus D&D campaigns, over 100 episodes of Jackson Bailey Spooks America, and all of the Hey D&D, It's Me Adams, and much, much more. But perhaps that's not enough. Perhaps you want to see how the bourgeois live. Well, in this special introductory offer of just $5 for the first month, you can be a Sans Pants King with the coupon code RATKING. That's RATKING. Listen to the weekly saga that is D&D is for Kings, or perhaps our foray into the world of darkness with our mini-series, The Spirit of Lonely Places. We have a lot of content on offer, and it's just sitting there begging to be listened to. Just head to sanspantsradio.com/plus to become a member today using either coupon code RATBOY for a free month of champ, or Rat King for $20 off your first month of a King subscription.
Welcome to Season 3, Episode 22 of Zombie Plagued Cholt. Previously...
What?
Valindra turns around to look at Biff. Biff starts sweating bullets.
I am on Biff so fast, Adam.
I'm going to count to five.
Hop, don't.
Five.
Hop.
Anything else? Four... Nothing else you want to share with the class.
She puts her hands on her hips. I can't wait to see the orals. You see, just all around you, there are the sad, sulken forms of people.
How long is this going to last for? To Valindra.
Valindra is looking somewhere else with a smile, like a pleasant smile on her face. You've never seen her look so happy. Nah, you have.
I don't know, maybe turn you into a pig or something.
Can you turn me back into me?
I could. Yes.
It's a nursery rhyme. It's in it final.
I need to know from this point forwards, every single time your characters speak.
You've started it. If you say, you said backward, like, fuck.
Yes! You hear a dull shk, and you presumably can now insert the skeleton keys. You return to the gate. This 12-foot high, 10-foot wide door is made of green stone. Its surface carved with grinning goblin skeletons. Don't know how you know. You're not... Surely you couldn't... Well, maybe. You're not an anthropologist. You're an archaeologist.
I've met anthropologists.
Didn't like a
if
single...
If you know what I mean. Fucking hated all of them.
A belt of smooth stone spans the door at a height of 4 feet, set with 5 gold symbols in a row, a triangle, a square, a pentagon, a hexagon, and an octagon. Each symbol is engraved on a recessed circular seal. Those seals actually would be gone or whatever. The gold in the way is gone, and now you can insert the keys.
All right, let's insert those keys. Hang on, do you share?
Cool. I'm not. Yes, of course. I share the. Wait, do you mean like? Do I need to hold on to them? Pretend we don't have them.
When you start to unlock, do you pass the keys out so we can all help, or do you just do them all one by one is what I'm asking? Because you have all of them.
I hand you 2 of the keys.
Okay, I unlock them.
I do the other 3.
The door with a shuddering...
Well, hang on, pause. What the fuck's going on with Cage Tiffany?
Oh, sorry. They would have rejoined you. Cage Tiffany is kind of like right up the back. Flask of Wine and Starfallen are kind of like flanking her in a protective sort of thing. Flask of Wine is kind of half holding her up. And Artisember is standing in front of the 4 of them.
I'm not sure what to do because while I've been there, you know, because she's me and it sucks, I'm like, oh my God, she needs help. But I am jealous. Those are my parents. So I just turn back around. I've got other things to do.
With a shuddering clicking sound, the skeleton gate unlocks and slowly opens.
Adam.
Yes.
Real quick.
Yeah.
How am I doing?
How are you doing for hit points?
Yeah.
You're on 138 out of 156.
I'm going to just do a bit of a level 3 cure wounds.
I'm on 76, yeah.
You recover 15 hit points, Pop.
Hey! That'd be almost full.
You're 3 hit points off.
Ah, that's Tiffany, good. That's good enough.
I've got you on 76.
Hey!
The opening skeleton gate reveals crumbling balconies overlook a pool of lava filling this triangular chamber, above which is suspended an enormous crystal cylinder held in place by 3 adamantine struts. Wraith-like forms swirl inside the chamber, and otherworldly screams hang in the air. 4 long, writhing tentacles sprout from the cylinder's cap. A shriveled monstrosity the size of an elephant floats near the cylinder.
It looks like, it's fucking hideous.
Are you ready for this? Its body is wet and malformed.
No. Oh, my God.
Its arms and legs are atrophied, and its oversized head drips black goo.
Oh, fuck off.
It looks like there are umbilical cords coming out of it everywhere.
Yeah, the creature is attached to the cylinder by a twisted umbilical cord. Those are umbilical cords.
Is it a horrific, awful death fetus?
Valindra knows what it is. Well, no one else just even could, really, to be honest. Valindra gestures to the creature and says, "It is an atropal, a ghastly, unfinished creation of an act of evil gods, cast adrift and abandoned long ago. You could consider it the child, if you will, of a god. The fetus of a god. Since it is never truly alive, it cannot be raised or resurrected by any means. And even the divine intervention of the gods themselves could not breathe true life into this hateful, miserable horror. It is unfinished, if you will, but still possible to be finished." Valindra enters the room proper, and she gestures to the cylinder behind the atropal. "That would be the soulmonger. It is feeding the atropal souls."
Fuck.
"The energy of thousands, millions, hundreds of millions."
"Never thought I'd say this. That does not belong in a museum."
I just stare at you wide-eyed like,
That's character development, my friends.
How do I turn it off?
Valindra doesn't answer immediately. She actually doesn't even act like she heard your question. "It is interesting in a way. Such a immense power. So curious. He's trying to not breathe life, but create a god."
"What god?"
"This one." She gestures again to the atropal. It is not yet a god. It is still unborn, if you will. But it has the divine spark within it. It just needs to be fed upon the souls of countless." "What an incredibly clever act. Not what I would have done with the soulmonger, but certainly something indeed." "Clearly, Azorak means not to be the power on the throne, but the power behind the throne. If he could tame this creature after creating it, the power he could wield would be immense. He would not need a phylactery anymore. He would simply be immortal."
"Yeah, that sounds like fucking bad fucking news."
"Such a long way to go to be immortal."
"It's also fucking gross. Look at
You don't want to do that, do you?"
"I have no interest in being the power behind the throne. I want to be the power on the throne. More open."
"That makes sense."
"That doesn't sit well with Pop." "But
what? How do you think we can
The Atropal and the Soulmonger are both intelligent in design. They will defend themselves, but they do not understand that we are here to destroy them. Not yet." Valindra gestures to the adamantine struts holding the soulmonger in place.
If I can break through one of these, then I can break through all three. As in to say, if I break through one of them, the structural loss will cause the other two to break. And then I can capture the soulmonger, as it were. With the soulmonger captured, the Atropel will wither and die eventually. Or we could just kill the Atropel outright. If Azorak learns of what we have done, which he no doubt will, he will undoubtedly seek to feed the Atropel again somehow. I don't think he will... This seems like more than a pet project.
Do you think the lava will kill it?
I don't know. It could, but the Atropel is hovering.
Yeah.
I don't think we could force the Atropel willingly into the lava, but we could certainly try.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
No matter what we do, the instant we start attacking, the Soulmonger and the Atropel will clap back, as it were.
We just gotta clap real fucking hard then, don't we?
So all we need to do, step
the
one.
The struts are big enough to walk on, as a note.
So Valindra's plan is destroy the struts, cause the Soulmonger to stop feeding the Atropel. The Atropel would become weaker, I guess, and we'd be able to kill it more easily.
No, Valindra thinks that destroying the or capturing the Soulmonger will cut off the Atropel's food supply. It will wither and die eventually if no help is given to it, but that won't necessarily weaken it functionally for a fight.
Yeah, I feel like we'd kill the Atropel.
Yeah.
Because if we destroy the Soulmonger and the Atropel's still alive, the Atropel's alive and then also maybe it calls Dad.
I would suggest we fight the Atropel first. The Soulmonger is not clever enough to understand that we are killing what it is feeding. So we can fight the Atropel, then the Soulmonger. If we fight the Soulmonger first, the Atropel will understand what we are doing and it will defend itself. This is a divide and conquer, as it were.
Hey, Horns.
Yeah?
You ready to murder a gigantic, grotesque baby monster?
Yes.
Good.
That's really... You worded it so... You call it a baby,
Babies are monsters.
Some important things to understand about the Atropel. If you can deal radiant damage, I would recommend that. It is vulnerable to it.
Kiss the sword.
It is immune to cold, necrotic... and bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magical attacks, which drastically cuts down what I can do to it. It is immune to being exhausted, frightened, paralyzed, poisoned, or prone. It has true sight, so invisibility will do nothing. If you stand within 30 feet of it, you cannot regain hit points, and you will feel necrotic energy leeching at you. It should be able to summon minor wraiths to defend it, which are no great challenge upon themselves, but, you know, are not great either.
This is such a bait and switch, boss, and I hate it.
This is not going to be an easy enemy to face.
None of them have, really.
All right, well.
Look at it this way. We are fighting, essentially, the equivalent of a baby in its womb. Imagine if it were birthed and we had to fight it.
Yeah.
I'd rather not. I want to get out my rapier and cast Green Flame Blade on it. I would like to attack. Maybe if we start with the umbilical cord first, we can reach that from where we are and maybe it'll come to us.
The cords are attached to it, so I figure if you hit the cord, it might hurt it. Would that be a fair assumption, Valindra?
I would say true, yes.
All right, then.
All right, so you arrange yourselves.
You ready, Horns?
On the struts and around the Soulmonger are Tiffany, Pop, Lucanu, Biff, and that's it. Standing back on the platform from where you came in a much safer position, but a position that allows ranged attacks. Flask of Wine, the Starfallen, Artisimber, and Valindra.
Where's Cage Tiffany?
Cage Tiffany is behind the formation on the platform.
With Mumbles?
yeah, with Mumbles. Yeah. They look after each other.
Glad they've got friends and that Mum and Dad are here with us.
All of you get a free round before we go to initiative because the Atropel is not expecting you to attack it.
Good.
All right, Horns, you'll be right.
You too. I want to run up and try and slash at the umbilical cord with the Green Flame Blade.
Tiffany, I'm going to allow sneak attack damage. And you get advantage on your attack. You hit, dealing You deal 35 points of damage, Tiffany.
Pop. Better than none.
First round of combat.
Yeah, let's go.
Extra attack. 125 points of damage.
Jesus.
Holy fuck.
You have dealt 160 points of damage so far.
Fuck right. Yes.
A bolt of lightning passes you by. Unfortunately, oh no, it has disadvantage.
Yeah, flask.
Still passes. Unfortunately, the Atropal narrowly dodges out of the way. It still cops some lightning, but it kind of lightly brushes over it. The Atropal only takes another 9 points of damage, which seems paltry in comparison.
It does.
Hey, fun fact, Lucanu actually can't hurt it. She rages and attacks, but she can't hurt it.
Do any damage at all?
No, she has no magical attacks. She cannot deal damage. Same with Biff.
What if I gave her the Mace of Terror?
Okay.
I'll give her the God too. Not that it matters, because
she doesn't like the God. She definitely does not want that God in her head.
She didn't drink the beer, though.
No, she didn't, but she fights off the God.
She's strong.
It's literally an affront to her deity.
I took it willingly, repeatedly. I've done this to myself. There was no point when the first time it happened, I was like, oh no. The second time it happened, I was like, every time it has to be this.
All right. She gets a lot of bonuses to these attacks. Lucanu deals 39 points of damage. Biff does nothing. And it's the Starfallen's turn. The Starfallen does a little titter. Artisimbra fires 3 arrows. Zit, zit, zit. And Clad the Drow throws a ball of arcane energy that also strikes. He deals 18 points of damage. And finally, it's Valindra's turn. Not able to deal cold or necrotic damage to it, she casts Infestation. She causes a cloud of mites, fleas, and other parasites to appear momentarily in one creature she can see within range.
That is fucked. That is such an awful fucking spell.
It gets in them.
Oh,
that's festy. That is festy.
That's an infesty.
The infestation causes it to take, and then it takes 2 points of poison damage, but the Atropal drifts closer towards the ledge. It's being forced there by the mites within it. Valindra has no control over the Atropal, but she completely controls the mites and grubs that she has caused to infest it. And she is dragging them closer to her.
Oh.
This whole thing is fucking disgusting.
All right, then we'll go to initiative.
Oh, cool.
Lightning rakes the creature again, dealing only 11 points of damage. Valindra deals another 5 points of damage and drags it 5 feet closer again. And then it is the Starfallen's turn. The Starfallen, she really can only do the laughing thing. She titters again. The Atropal does not feel bad this time. Biff does nothing, basically. Artisimbra fires again. 3 more arrows find their mark, dealing a further 12, 15, 22, 23 points of damage. And then it is Tlad's turn. Tlad throws another Eldric Ball at it, striking again. And then, Pop, it's your turn.
I would like to use Zephyr Strike. What a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And do what I do. And I would like my advantage damage on the Zephyr Strike attack.
Okay. Oh, good job.
Fuck yeah.
You get a critical hit.
Hey!
Yay!
I haven't had one of them for a bit. Feels good, man.
Feels good, man. Slice to the cheek, double damage. Let's reroll that one.
Oh, yes.
67 points of damage.
Delicious.
You have laid absolute waste to this creature. It is still standing, though. It's your turn, Tiffany.
Oh, fuck.
I'm going in with my green flame blade.
You strike it as well, Tiffany. You deal 30 points of damage. Lucanu deals 29 points of damage. Everyone in melee with the creature, except because he's immune to it, Pox, because he's undead, takes 26 points of damage. That was not its attack or anything like that. That's just a thing it does every turn.
Every turn?
Every turn, if you were standing within 30 feet of it, it does that much, well, roughly that much necrotic damage.
I hate it. I hate it a lot.
Then it's its turn. It splays its hands out and cold buffets all of you. You can tell that the spell is identical in nature to the one that that Arda Simbra casts with his Ring of Winter, except it is so much more beefy.
Yeah.
52 points of damage.
Each?
No, that's to you, Pop. Tiffany, you take 46 points of damage.
Ah.
You're on 4. Biff's corpse, Pox's corpse, is destroyed. It topples over into the lava. And then, Pop, you need to make a dexterity saving throw to stay standing. You pass. Tiffany, you need to make a dexterity saving throw to stay standing. You pass. Lucanu needs to make a dexterity saving throw. She passes. Biff's dead, so it doesn't matter. Pop, the second time you took damage this round, you need to make a dexterity saving throw. You pass that one. Tiffany, the second time you took damage, you need to make a dexterity saving throw. You pass that. Lucanu?
Oh my god.
Passes her second one. All right. No one except Pox's corpse falls into the lava today.
Oh, the others are all at a distance.
That was its one of its actions.
What?
It uses its cone of cold again. It hits Pop. It hits Tiffany.
Can it reroll an attack against me?
And it hits Lucanu. It rerolls, it hits again.
Fuck. I'm going to die.
You'll immediately stabilize, but yeah.
No, because she falls into the lava.
I'm going to fall into the lava.
Fuck.
I'm going to die.
Fuck.
Pop, you take 41 points of damage. Tiffany, well, it doesn't actually matter because you have 4 hit points.
So I hit 0.
Is there any way
we'll deal with that in a tick. Lucanu takes 62 points of damage. All right, so Tiffany falls. Pop, you need to make a dexterity saving throw. You pass.
Thank fuck for that.
Would you like to make another dexterity saving throw to catch Tiffany?
Yes. Can I make it better by doing anything? Like, can I do something to make give myself advantage? For example,
you can give advantage if you drop Holy Avenger.
So I get advantage if I throw the sword away, or I'm just rolling normally if I don't throw the sword away.
Mm-hmm.
Don't throw the sword away.
I'm not going to throw the sword away. It's way too important. I try to grab Tiffany.
You grab Tiffany.
Shit, a brick.
All right, that was the Atropel's turn. It's Flask of Wine's turn. Pop, you, out of the peripheral of your vision, you see a flash of gold, and then Flask of Wine sprints, sliding down next to you. He grabs Tiffany handily, throws her over his shoulders, turns around, and is back on the ledge before you are even able to open your mouth.
Right.
The golden aura around him begins to slowly die down.
Oh, a boy.
Fuck, I'm such a fucking dumbass. Anyway, Adam, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Guys, it's fine. Guess what I'm going to do on my next turn, Cass? Use the thing that makes me invincible for a turn.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Valindra casts a spell and a ball of fire surrounds the Atropel. The Atropel needs to make a reflex saving throw.
Oh, but shits the bed and fails.
It fails.
Yeah, it's good.
10d8 damage.
Good, you dumb, grotesque sack of skin.
Valindra just uses one of her... She maximizes the damage. She deals 80 points of damage. No, actually, she's not going to maximize that damage. Valindra is expecting harder fights very soon.
That doesn't bode well for us.
Mm-mm.
The Atropel takes 43 points of fire damage. Tiffany, you wake up. The Starfallen is standing over you.
I grab her. I love her.
I love that the time is you die, fall. The next thing you know, you're just 30 feet, 40 feet away from where you were.
I assume the Starfallen did it all.
Tiffany, you have 31 hit points.
Thank you.
The Starfallen gently kisses you on the forehead and says, you're safe.
Thank you.
Artis Simber plugs the Atropel with 3 arrows and Tlad fires a bolt of arcane energy. Pop, what would you like to do?
Okay.
Ooh, Tlad's attack is pretty devastating.
How fuckled is it, Adam?
It's badly damaged.
Because the gift of protection mean I couldn't get hurt by it this turn. But if I use it, I can't use it again for a week. And there's another fight coming.
There's another fight coming.
So, no gift of protection. I'm just mad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to cast Zephyr Strike at him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to raise Holy Avenger above my head. I'm going to look this grotesque, filthy, fucking putrid baby sack thing in its big, filthy, fucking gross eye. And I'm going to very sternly say, "You killed my friend. That's very fucking rude." And stab it as hard as I can.
For a moment, I'm like, "Pox?" And then I'm like, no. No, it's probably me.
Pop, you look the Atropal dead in its undead, gross fucking face as snot and blood dribble out of the holes where its nose should be.
That's gross. Pick one.
It's got a Voldemort nose.
You say that to it, and then you drive Holy Avenger in between its eyes. The creature jerks and writhes and screeches on the end of Holy Avenger. Holy Avenger begins to glow hot, and you realize you hadn't noticed a second ago, but Holy Avenger is like white hot. It is like touching flames. You are in agony as well. You begin screaming as well as the Atropos screeches. You feel, however, the life force, the malice, the evil within the Atropal begin to fade and ebb as the creature dies. Whoa. You did not realize it before. No tome in a library, no delve deep into a dungeon can prepare you for the fact that evil is a real, manifest thing and that it was stored within this creature. Evil, no word other than evil, ebbs and leaks out of this creature as it dies upon Holy Avenger. It is a cathartic moment to see a creature that had nothing but malice in its heart and malice in its actions and future die prematurely on your sword.
Pop cries.
You slay the Atropal.
Oh, fuck. My fucking hands.
No sooner had the Atropal died when, with a crack like lightning, a skeletal figure wrapped in moldering robes and clutching a skull-tipped scarf appears on the southern balcony. Hateful pinpricks of white light burn in its eye sockets, and a 2-foot diameter sphere of utter darkness floats in the air beside it.
I'm assuming, Adam, this is probably Asarak. I clock him, I guess. I look at him. I see him. I acknowledge his existence. I assume he's looking at me. And I'm like, "Oh, you must be Asarak. You're late, cunt."
Asarak acts as you are talking. Asarak does not care. He is not here for words. He is not here to converse with you. He has come here with one objective: to slay the creatures that inconvenienced him. Asarak simply begins sweeping his arms in a spell. Lucanu, recognizing who she is looking at and what is happening, lowers her mace in a combat angle, and screaming, she launches herself towards Asarak. Lucanu closes in with Asarak, and that's where her problems begin.
Your wife.
Are you going to kill my wife, Adam?
I might. Well, she's no longer... So she charges off the struts.
Yep.
She's now on the platform, on the far southern platform with Asarak. So she's not going to fall into the lava.
That does not sound like a good thing, Adam.
She hits twice with the Mace of Terror. She does damage, maybe.
Uh-oh.
Is it quotation marks damage, Adam?
I'm just not at liberty to tell you. All right, that was her turn. Asarak finishes waving his arms in an arcane fashion and gestures. He gestures at Lucanu, and Between the two of them, it feels like the lights in the room dim. Even the magma beneath you, it feels like the light coming off it dims. The light in the room halves in intensity. A bright purple, vibrant cord of magical energy appears between him and Lucanu.
Ooh.
She fails her constitution saving throw.
So she lives?
Lives.
Nothing happens immediately. Tiffany, it's your turn.
So it doesn't look like anything happens?
Tiffany, you have some knowledge, Arcana, but not enough. Whatever this magic is, it is powerful and deep.
Ask Valindra. She's right there.
I asked Valindra. What was that?
Valindra calls out from the far balcony. They have been inextricably tied. Damage to one will hurt both.
In Pokemon, this is called Destiny Bond.
What do you want to do?
Oh, fuck.
What do you want to do, Tiffany?
Can you unbond them?
Valindra yells back, no, the effect is temporary, but I cannot in an effective amount of time.
I'm going to race in, hit Azorak with a green flame blade, and then use my cunning action to hide.
Okay. You can try to hide, but you'll literally be in front of Azorak. It's not going to be easy. I would say you have disadvantage to your hide.
Okay.
You could use your cunning action to disengage and then just retreat backwards if you wanted to. You would be retreating backwards. Oh, well, you could stay on the platform, but being on the platform is still very close to Azorak. Or you could retreat back onto the metal struts. But taking damage on the metal struts means you might fall.
Yeah, maybe I'll just try and hide. I'll take the risk and try and hide because I don't want to be on the metal struts.
Okay.
I nearly fell into them.
But you know that hitting Azorak hurts Lucanu.
I wish I didn't.
You lunge forwards with your rapier, mm-hmm. and Azorak grabs your rapier, and then you keep driving it forwards, and you are faster than he is strong. So you
that
drive,
is a great sentence.
You drive the rapier into him before he can move it out of the way. You skewer him. You will deal sneak attack damage plus the green flame. Oh, I think he's immune to fire damage.
No!
He's going to be immune to so many fucking things, Cass.
All right, no, he's not immune to fire damage.
That's good.
Thank God.
Can I guess, because he's a lich, he's immune to necrotic and cold?
Necrotic and poison.
Oh, but cold still gets it.
He's resistant to. So he only takes half damage.
Okay.
This is maybe something Valindra has told you. Mm.
Well, we know enough about liches now.
You deal Azorak 17 points of damage, and you deal Lucanu 17 points of damage.
Cass, it's my wife.
As the green energy between Azorak and Lucanu ripples, and you see negative energy flood into Lucanu and healing energy flood into Azorak, sharing their damage.
Lucanu can't speak common, so she doesn't know that I knew.
Fair. It's a very, I guess.
And I mean, the Starfallen can always heal Lucanu.
Yeah, sure, she's definitely going to survive this fight.
Azorak has his turn.
Wait, what the fuck?
Azorak casts a spell. After he casts the spell, Azorak moves slightly. Not slightly, actually, quite a bit. Azorak finishes casting the spell, and then it's like he jumps. Like, well, you would not have this frame of reference, but like a DVD or a movie skipped from one scene to another. He's in a completely different location, not far from where he started, but you also see a shimmering shield of energy around him.
Wait, if he's cast a spell and I'm a mage slayer and I get a reaction every time he casts a spell within 5 feet of me,
mm-hmm.
does it work?
Yeah, you can attack him.
Yep.
As he casts that spell.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm George Dimerlis, and I'm here to talk about Bookish, my book-themed interview podcast where I get a different guest on every week to talk about their favorite book and what that says about them. It's kind of half about the book and a lot about the guest because I'm trying to figure out why that thing you love is that thing you love. So if you've ever wondered, I like this thing, I wonder what that reflects about me. This show is basically me trying to figure that out every week with a new guest. It's kind of half book podcast and half psychoanalysis session from someone taking some wild shots in the dark. But it's a lot of fun and I think kind of informative. And there's books.
Cass, did you just know about your abilities and then use them correctly?
Did I just set up an action? Put me in chess. I could do it now.
You miss.
Put me in, coach.
You launch out from cover. Oh, no, you get advantage on this attack because he didn't see you.
I am hidden.
You, even with advantage, you launch out from your hidden spot. You strike him again. You can't use Green Flame Blade, though. He's immune to your attack.
Boo, sucks.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Do you have a spell?
Such a good idea, and it sucks that the demon
I'll allow you to react
you.
With a spell. Do you want to use Witch Bolt?
We're bringing out Witch Bolt!
All right.
Oh, could it be any spell?
I will allow any spell.
You could use Scorching Ray, my Circlet of Blasting. Or Agonizar's Scorcher.
If you use Agonizar's Scorcher, you get your surprise ability, so he has disadvantage on his dexterity saving throw.
I would like to use Agonizar's Scorcher.
You launch from cover.
Hold on, Cass.
Point your hand at him and bathe him in flames. Your attack hits. He takes 11, 16. So he takes 8 points of damage. And Lucanu takes 8 points of damage.
Oh, fuck.
Lucanu collapses.
God damn it. I had a good plan and now it's ruined.
What was your plan?
I don't know if
propose.
Wait, marry me. Hey, Lucanu's still standing.
Hey!
She uses her Relentless Rage ability.
Oh, she's mad.
Stay awake?
Yeah. She goes to 1 hit point instead of 0.
Just gets so angry she doesn't die.
Then Azarak does his spell anyway. He shifts and moves, and it's the Starfallen's turn.
And there appears to be something shimmering around him. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. The Starfallen starts singing a slow, mournful song behind you. The song begins to swell in quality, becoming more and more powerful. You all recover 20 hit points.
Oh, thank God.
Whew.
Artist Simber fires 6 arrows at Azarak. He hits 4 times. All of his attacks count as magical. 2 of them explode in shadow energy.
Oh, cool.
I hope old mate's weak to shadows.
And he needs to make a wisdom saving throw, which...
Getting hit by arrows and being like, wait, do you think I'm wise? Do you think? I don't know. No, oh my God. No, I am. I'm fine.
Wow.
I'm fine.
Woof. Azarak rolled a 3 and passed.
Jesus.
Azarak and Lucanu both take 18 points of damage. Azarak is filled with needles, but Lucanu looks like she's the one worse for wear. Lucanu is being drained and killed by the sickly energy between her and Azarak.
Why the everyone who spoke common knows that this is doing this. Why does everyone suck so much?
Pop, it's your turn.
Fuck. I give Artis a look that is like, in that look it is, you're supposed to be the hero, you fuckbag. And then I'd like to ask Valindra a question as a bonusy talky action.
Yeah.
Does it work that anything that happens to Lucano happens to Asarak?
Valindra shakes her head.
Fuck.
Well, there goes my plan to make her drink this potion of diminution and then me smush Asarak with my foot.
Oh, we're fine.
Imagine ending the main boss fight of this entire thing that we've been doing for a year and you squish.
Yeah, it's on main.
Funny. Funny.
Adam, I don't know what to do because if I hit Asarak, I kill the cat.
Valindra, just last question.
Uh-huh.
If she dies, what happens? Is the connection severed?
If she dies, the connection must be severed. You cannot do damage to a corpse.
Oh, my God.
But you can stabilize a corpse.
You can stabilize a dying person. If she becomes dying, this continues.
Oh, this is the worst, Adam. Oh, Tom just wants to hold his action because I don't know what to do.
You can hold your action if you want.
Yeah, but I want to do fighting.
Oh, you're adorable. So if you want, you can hold your action until after
Lakana's turn?
Yep.
No, because she'll be dead by then. Valindra's got to have a turn, and she's evil. She'll kill Lucano if it means killing Asarak. It's just how she operates. I can't convince her otherwise, can I?
You could try. That'd be your turn.
Wait for me, is all I say to her, and I'm ready to do something.
Do you say that as a question, or do you want to use an action to intimidate? Or diplomacy?
I want to try just...
If you just say it, you're leaving it up to the winds of fate.
No, I want to try to convince her, either diplomacy, not intimidation, because I know that won't work with Valindra.
Okay. That's such a pity because you're way better at intimidation.
Then you know what, Adam? Fuck it. I don't like Valindra. I'm going to intimidate her. I've got a sword that could rip...
Ooh, do you have anything for a reroll, buddy? Because I'm... Look, you didn't make double digits on this roll. Oh dear, no. Flask of Wine, I reckon, is going to cast Hunter's Mark. That's his bonus action. Otherwise, what's he going to do? He sprints halfway across the room and starts climbing on the Soulmonger.
Yes.
Good boy.
Then it's Valindra Shadowmantle's turn.
Come on, you bony bitch, don't you fucking dare.
Fire bathes the end platform. A massive...
Holy shit, she's just she's just hit Lucano as well.
Yep. A giant wall of fire bathes the end platform. Asarak needs to make a saving throw. Fuck, nat 20, he passes.
Oh.
Lucano needs to make a saving throw. She fails. Tiffany, you make a saving throw with advantage, and you will take zero damage from your evasion ability. The fire touches all elements and places and in-betweens. Wow. 48 points of damage. So, Tiffany, you take zero. Lucano takes 48, and then she takes 24. Okay, so I've got good news, bad news. Which would you like to hear first?
Bad news.
Yeah.
Bad news. Lucano was on one hit point.
Oh, that's all right. Okay. She'll just keep being on one hit point. Oh, I forgot that's her ability. She won't ever die.
Let's not say that, but all right.
What's the good news?
That is the good news.
Oh, it was one news.
Yeah.
So what you meant, Adam, was I have news.
Yes.
Fuck.
That was Valindra's turn. Oh, the fire doesn't go away, by the way. It stays. It's Talad's turn.
I think that's good.
It's not...
Kana's going to die.
Yes.
I hate that witch so much. I'm going to push her in the lava.
It won't work. I will not let you do that.
Talad conjures a ball of fire into his hand, but as he throws it, drawing a blank, you are unable to cast this spell for 1 minute. As he... casts or begins casting the spell, everyone hears a loud, audible snap from up the northern end of this room. And Talad the Drow, looking at his hand, neither of you can hear this, but anyone on that north, all the NPCs on that northern platform can hear Talad whispering to himself, what? I can't remember. What? That's Talad's turn.
I'm going to kill him.
It's Lucanu's turn. He's not being actively on... Well, No one has been actively unhelpful. It's just some party members don't care about other party members.
Yeah, I'm going to push what? Him in the lava, actually. If I can't kill Valindra, I'll kill Tyre.
On that scale, he's been fine. He's not... Adam, he's not attempted to...
The thing what? Is, I don't like him.
That's fair.
His name's Tlad. It's the Chad of elves.
Look, I can't
apparently
argue
Pop's
with that.
An incel.
Lucanu is rapidly losing steam. She swings again and again and again and again, but her mace just starts hammering off the shimmering energy shield around him, dealing no damage. Tiffany, Azarak gestures towards you, and you see something that has previously only been the purview of Valindra and Pop. The air ripples around you, and the ghosts of hundreds and maybe thousands of dead claw out at you. You know that end scene from Hercules where he's in like the soup of all those souls?
No. Is this kind of like the scene in Scooby-Doo where they...
Yes.
Imagine thousands of spectral entities swirling around you. All of them, every single one of them, an adventurer that Azarak has killed who stood in the exact spot you are standing in when Azarak killed them. There's hundreds, maybe thousands. You cannot tell how many countless. All of them claw at you and try to sap your life force from you, screaming, wailing, gnashing their teeth.
Oh my God, take the L, am I right?
Take the L.
The connection between Lucanu and Azarak ends.
Oh, I don't want to attack him anymore then.
He's secretly here just to kill Lucanu. An assassin sent through time. And then it's your turn, Tiffany.
I would like to repeat what I did. Use green flame blade and then is there somewhere where I can... Can I hide behind someone?
There's not a lot on this plot. Oh, you could hide behind Lucanu, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be using your cunning action to disengage.
Yes.
Launching yourself back over the railing, you land and lunge forwards at Azarak. This time, when he tries to grab your rapier, you turn the rapier suddenly in a feint, and he kind of just fumbles a little bit trying to catch the rapier. You whip it back up around and slash at his face, causing a scar similar to one of the many scars dotting your face.
And then I disengage successfully and hide.
Before you disengage, Azarak reaches out to grab you. Azarak's bony fingernails brush against you. It wouldn't even be a scratch that would leave a mark. That is the mark he leaves upon you. You take 10 points of cold damage as you feel a chill from deep past beyond the grave.
Can I react to that?
Yes.
I would like to do Hellish Rebuke.
He takes half damage.
Am I able to disengage now?
You disengage, yes.
This feels like bullying.
He takes 6 points of damage.
Oh, God.
Does he look injured?
He doesn't look concerned. He's a corpse, so it's hard to tell how much damage you've done. Time has done more damage to his body than you ever will.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, then it's his turn. He gestures, and the roiling black sphere that no light escapes from, it looks like just a 2D circle, but you can tell that it's a 3D sphere. It moves towards Lucanu, and then brushes up against her.
Oh.
Lucanu ducks, and the sphere deftly passes over her, just barely missing her. Lucanu needed a 20, and she got a 20.
That would have killed her.
Tiffany, you know this is the sphere of annihilation. If the sphere touches you, you die. You are consumed. Only the direct intervention of a deity could save you. There is nothing else. A deity, a god, literally needs to step in and say that you don't die.
Okay.
Oh, there's no saving throw on this. Wait, no. Oh, Lucanu dies. Azarak waves his hand. Lucanu collapses forwards.
Adam,
So you...
You Lucanu, killed her anyway.
Lucanu is dead.
You're a piece of shit.
Then it's the Starfallen's turn. First things first. Pop, you get a bardic inspiration as the Starfallen, in her singing, begins to weave a tale. She sings of deeds that you have done that she was not there for, but they happened. She sings about the brave acts. Maybe she sings about the defense of Fort Vengeance and the moments where you saved another person's life. You have forgotten these events completely. This dungeon has robbed you of certain acts of heroism from your past, and the Starfallen reminds you of the good man you have been.
Not are, have been.
Everyone also recovers 20 hit points.
Cass, if I have been, I can be again.
Get a good boy card. That was yes! Good. Then it is Azarak's turn.
What?
Azarak uses one of his legendary actions.
Gah! How often can he do this shit? Just whenever?
How many legendary actions does he get?
He gets 3 every round.
Jeez. Every round?
Hey, Adam, why don't I get any legendary actions? I'm a legend. If we're fighting in Pop's house, would I be like...
You come to my house.
What? If you have a fucking house,
yeah.
Yes, I will allow you legendary actions in your fucking house.
Oh my
Tiffany,
God.
You take 12 points of damage as cold energy buffets you. Artisimber launches 3 arrows. Hit, hit, critical hit. Good job, Artis.
Good work.
Maximum double damage. Artisimber's 3rd arrow explodes the side of Azarak's head. He does 41 points of damage. That was Artis's turn. Pop, it's your turn.
So, I should use this, but also I have an ability that basically does it anyway.
Oh, I should say also Artisimber starts sprinting along the railing. He's running towards the fight as well to get closer.
Oh, yeah. I'm Adam. Mm. I'm going to get to the fight. I'm going to get Holy Avenger. I'm gonna use Zephyr Strike.
Mm-hmm.
And radiant damage does double damage to old mate. It does more. I do radiant damage to old mate too, don't I?
Oh yeah. It does the extra damage.
Great. So I want to use the first attack with Zephyr Strike. Do the damage advantage roll thing.
Mm-hmm.
Dub dam.
And on have Stalker's Flurry ready to go for if I miss, and I'm also going to use this as a plus D10 to the Zephyr Strike roll.
Okay.
Cash it in. Because, Adam, all my happy memories. Well, because as I stand and I race towards this lich, I remember deep down, the inner monologue in Pop's head is that yes, deep, deep, deep down, yes, it's soft, sharp, soft, sharp, soft, sharp, soft, sharp, 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 sharp. But in the middle of that last little icy shard of sharpness, there is a big leaf.
Get a good boy card.
Aww.
You charge forwards. Your first attack is a hit and you don't need your reroll ability. Your second attack is a miss, so you use the reroll on that.
Yes.
You hit twice and you deal 46 points of damage.
All right, you bony-headed fuck. Let's fucking dance.
That was your turn, Pop, sprinting in. You're now face-to-face with Azarak. Through the wall of flames, Azarak leers at you, and you see malice, hatred in his eyes. You are an insignificant insect that has annoyed him for too long.
Gahoy.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. That's good, because I want him to hate me.
Azarak gestures, and the Sphere of Annihilation launches itself at you.
Fuck.
Oh, no. Oh, I gave him a bow.
It gently hums past you. As it passes you, you hear a whispering. Over the din of combat, the roar of the magma beneath you, you can hear it whispering at you. Your heart stops for a second, stops completely still, and the feeling of cold sweat drenching you passes over you. You understand that you, for a brief moment, gazed into the void, nothingness, emptiness, not the afterlife, but death, true death, the end. Even if your soul managed to escape the sphere of annihilation, which it would not, you would have been consumed by the soulmonger.
So it missed.
Yes.
And I'm still looking at Asarak.
Mm-hmm.
You missed, fuckface.
Oh my god, stop. Stop! What are you doing? Oh my god.
It's Flask of Wine's turn. Flask of Wine brings himself up onto, like, he finds a metal strut on the soulmonger and wraps his legs around it. He knocks, draws, and aims a bow, and as he does so, he lines the bow up with the hunter's mark that he has, and then electrical energy surges down his arm into the arrow. Azarak waves a hand, and it explodes before Flask of Wine gets a chance to fire it. Flask of Wine falls into the magma. With a sickening splash, Flask of Wine lands in the magma. Flask of Wine takes 10d10 damage.
Son of a bitch.
Okay, so if this were a video game, I would have turned the console off by now.
Yeah.
And I would be like, start again. There's no recovering from this. Yeah. You have to start again.
Will our heroes save Flask of Wine, or will they have to reset to an earlier save state before their poor friend was molten goo? Find out next time on Once Upon a Time in Zombie-Plagued Chult.
Hey, I'm Cameron James.
And I'm Alexi Toliopoulos.
You might know us as the cinephiles from Total Reboot, mm-hmm. Finding Drago, yes. And Finding Desperado.
And guess what, baby? We're bringing Total Reboot back.
Finally. The only podcast on the internet about movies is returning.
We're coming back to Sans Pants with a brand new season of a very incredibly unique blend of film criticism, which is usually taken very, very seriously. It's quite a pompous form of discussion and artistic examination. But we are bringing it back with a twist, bitch.
What's that?
The twist is that we're freaking funny, dude.
Oh, very cool. This year, we're putting out a bunch of mini-series looking at all the big topics of cinema. And I'm very excited about our first mini-series, which is all about screen ages. That's right. Teen movies, one of our favorite genres.
Over on Total Reboot, we'll be making fun of all of these movies that we love so very much and trying to figure out why, in fact, we actually do love them.
So listen to Total Reboot, the only podcast on the internet about movies.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, fellow adventurer. If you're picking up what we're putting down and want more D&D content, we have just what you need to scratch that itch. D&D is for Nerds Plus, the symbol, not the word, where you can listen to select campaigns that were once only available to Sans Pants Plus members. The further adventures of the Grey Hill Free Company if you want shorter campaigns with beautiful guests, and D&D is for Nerds, not Ognot, where all our non-canon D&D adventures go to rest. Just search for D&D is for Nerds on your favorite podcast app of choice and join us on this epic quest of D&D podcast discovery.